Good morning. So this morning we're reading from Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 17. And we're covering the subject of knowledge, which is part of your physical earth suit's general needs, right? Now, Lord, verse 2. Okay, backwards. Okay. Starting with verse 2 backwards, and then we'll get led as Holy Spirit leads us, right? So first of all, earth. Well, earth is more than just the physical place. It's everything that goes on here, right? It's all things that go on here. Whether it's just animals, or whether it's birds, or whether it's the sea, or whether it's the land, whether it's people, whether it's what people do, or whether it's business, or it's everything to do with earth, right? And when you take earth and you put it into the microcosm of our solar system, which is inside a galaxy, which is inside a universe, and we don't know how many of those there really are, because we don't understand dimensions. We don't understand how many there are. We don't know. There are just too many things that we have no knowledge of. And we have this little blue planet, and it's called Earth. Okay. And based on what's going on here, we have people that decide to tell us what doesn't exist. Now, I don't know how you choose what doesn't exist unless you know everything that exists, which clearly we don't, because we redefine everything every year. Every year we go, okay, it's not really, that's not really true. We've rediscovered this. Or nobody even thought about tsunamis before 2004. And then we had that massive one that came through and 250,000 odd people were killed and the devastation was huge. And then all of a sudden people said, oh, we didn't know that the world could do that. We didn't know that the seas could do that. All right. Now, of course, they're becoming a little bit more common and earthquakes and all these things are becoming more and more common. And people are taking notice. But generally speaking, people have not been noticing everything that's going on. And that's just Earth. Now you bring it down into our daily communication. And you look at how rich the communication was 100 years ago. 100 years ago, people would use the right words for the right things. They would be careful with what they were saying. There was a level of intelligence that applied that doesn't apply today. People have been dumbed down more and more and more over the last 30 years. It's crazy how people are just not using words properly. Now, I say 100 years ago because 1890 they started to corrupt the Bibles within earnest, right? They'd been doing little changes here and there, but they didn't tend to get away with it very easily. But now it's just rampant, right? I mean, you just have to look at what happened. Exodus chapter 39, verse 37. Now, I read that this morning in my quiet time. I've got to tell you, it's gut-wrenching what people are doing. It really is. You can't add words to turn an experience, because the Bible's supposed to be an experience into a historical book of knowledge. All those words added in italics by King James turned the Bible from an experience into a book of knowledge. All the new Bibles have adopted those same words that are in italics and made them normal text. So all you're sitting with these new Bibles is a book of knowledge. And you know what? People know that there's something wrong. They know. They can't put their finger on. When I eventually figured out that, hang on a minute, if I read without those words in italics, I get the real meaning and the Holy Spirit works with me and walks with me and shows me the depth and the meaning of these things. It's phenomenal. It is such an experience. You just get relit up all over again. So I encourage you, if you don't have access to an old King James Bible, you can download one for free. They're out of copyright. You can download it from multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living, and you'll see Old King James Bible there, and you can click on it and you can go and get it. And feel free to download. Print yourself a physical copy, because what's online is going to constantly be changing. So anyway, that's Earth. Earth, all things are just being dumbed down, but the knowledge is so limited. And yes, there's levels of people that have additional knowledge, and you know, certain people have secrets and all the rest of it, but even they don't have. You know, God speaks in the book of Enoch that those that fell, the fallen angels, they had a little bit of knowledge, but they didn't really have any useful knowledge, any real knowledge. They didn't have that. So even though people come and they say, oh yes, we know this, all of this knowledge is so superficial, it scratches the surface of what real knowledge really is. So, go back a bit further from Earth. Not on things on the Earth. Okay, well, we're going to have to go back a bit further than that. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Those things where it talks about things above, when it talks about above, it's talking about in dimensions that you can't access unless you do so spiritually. Now, what does that mean? Oh, I should go and do seances and all these things. You're going to get such junk from that, such low-level pieces of rubbish. And by the way, you're going to get trapped by those entities. And bear in mind, I was possessed. I know what it's like, and you never want that. I promise you, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. That is just, they only know how to torment and make your life miserable. So stay away from all those things. Stay away from all those things. But what does that mean then? Right? Set your affection on things above. The things you want to seek are the things that God talks about. He knows exactly what to tell you at what moment in time, so that he can build your knowledge and build the neural pathways in the right order, so that when you're thinking at that moment in time for that particular situation with that particular person that you're talking to, you will have exactly what you need. He knows how to build you. And by the way, because he's outside of time, he's actually with you. He's already planned it. He's seen it. He's planned it. He's put all the things in motion. They're right there. It is up to you to decide at every moment of your day which path you're going to take. Are you going to look at the world, the way the world works, the way the world says things work? And are you going to look at what you can see physically, or what you've been taught at university or wherever else? Are you going to look at those things? And are you going to walk by that? Or are you going to look at what God says? Are you going to look at what God says? Are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit? Are you going to then interpret correctly? Because that's how you can do a correct interpretation. Exactly what is really going on. And then judge by that. And when I say judge, keep yourself clean from the things you shouldn't be part of, right? And bring truth. But you can only do that if your affection has been set on the things that are above. When you walk into a situation, you walk into a meeting, you walk into a relationship, you walk into anything, or even if you're in the middle of those things, you say, Lord, I want to see this through your eyes. I want to see what's really going on here. And if your heart is right, and you've set your affection on what God wants in life, because he loves everybody, if that's where your heart is, he will give you that knowledge. But if your heart is not towards that, if your heart is towards everything the world can teach you and what you can get out of the world and all the rest of it, then there is no way that you're going to be able to. So it depends on you as an individual, how you choose to set yourself and what perspective you choose to look through things at. Because you can only see things according to whatever tinted glasses you choose to wear. So you've got red, everything will look red. You've got blue, everything will look blue. You can put on God's glasses and you'll see the truth. Okay, so how is this then even possible? Because not everyone born is able to do this. You need a capability that doesn't exist on this earth to be able to think of the things that are from above. And that's why Jesus had to die. He had to die to kill your old spirit, which is a four-dimensional spirit, so that he can move your soul into a nine-dimensional spirit. That is the new spirit. That is what he can give. Satan can't give you anything. He can only manipulate what exists. He cannot create. God creates. Right? So, let's start from chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, you've accepted Jesus in your heart, which means that your old spirit has been killed. You don't need it. You've been de-shelled effectively. You've been taken out of the shell of the old spirit. You've been put in the shell of the new spirit, which God gives you. And when that happens, you become alive to God. Because the old spirit cannot experience God. You just can't. That's why you can only accept Jesus by faith. You have to choose to believe that you can step out of this old spirit and into the spirit that God will give you. You have to believe that Jesus can do that. And by the way, only Jesus can, because he had to pay the price to allow that to take place. No other God or whatever idol or whatever has ever done that for anybody. Because they all keep you locked up in this dimensional situation. They never give you the capabilities that you need to get beyond. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Where do you find these things? Well, you find them in the Bible. Start reading from Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through to the end of Revelation, right, the very last verse. And read it again and again and again, and read it using the Old King James Bible. By the way, your spirit knows exactly those words, what they mean, and your brain will catch up, right? Just keep reading it. Read it out loud. It's very helpful. Read it, and as you're reading it, you will have a greater and greater experience, and you'll recognize everything that God is talking about here, right? And your spirit will come alive because why? You've accepted Jesus. You now have this new spirit. Because you have this new spirit, you can engage with God and you can experience him. So, read that again. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So when your old spirit dies, You get this new spirit, but that new spirit is alive within Christ. Christ is everywhere, right? He's everywhere all the time through the Holy Spirit. So you're within him. You're in that dimension that normal people cannot reach. They cannot get there because their four-dimensional spirits just are not capable. So what does this mean now, right? Now, think of it this way. You, your soul, which is all your memory and everything else about you, has been deshelled out of a four-dimensional spirit. It's been now put into a nine-dimensional spirit. It has no clue about the other five dimensions. Doesn't know how they work, what they do. Doesn't even know what they are. The more you read the Bible, the more your neural pathways get changed in your brain, the more you recognize, oh, wait a minute, but that's something I can do. That's something I can do. I didn't know I was able to do that. And you learn and you learn more about this new spirit that God's given you, right? But there's a problem. Your soul has learned how to live and survive using a four-dimensional spirit. Now, because the four-dimensional spirit does not have all the capabilities of the nine-dimensional spirit, it has had to try and survive. People lie because they're trying to survive. They don't have the capabilities that they need. They don't have peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness that are automatically part of this new spirit. And so they've been beaten into this shape that is just wrong. They've wound up on drugs seeking for some way to solve this. They've wound up alcoholics. They've wound up in all sorts of things. Many of them have bumped into spirits that have actually abused them and used them and just made their lives absolutely miserable, right? Now you get taken out of that. Your soul doesn't understand or know anything different. It doesn't. And by the way, the only thing it knows is by what comes in via your ears and your eyes. So if you're watching TV and all the junk on TV, well, guess what you're feeding your soul? Guess what your soul is thinking all the time? That's its reality, by the way. Its feedback loop is, that's its reality, whatever comes in. And the more you read the Bible and you read these words, you read them without the italics, you get the experience of God, your soul wakes up. It wakes up to what's going on. Starts to discover things that you can't verbalize. However, there are things that your soul has learnt that don't belong and should never be a part of your nine-dimensional spirit. And it's going to try because it knows no difference. It's going to try to still do these old things. And you, which is this new spirit, need to tell your soul to keep quiet and get back in line. We don't do that anymore. That's not us. That's not who I am. We're not going to do that. To do that exercise of saying that's not me means to kill that desire, to kill that thing that used to be a part of your life. You need to get rid of it. And to do that, that's what we call mortifying. Mortifying is to kill it. And so when we start with verse 5, we've got mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Right? These things in your life that have got to do with the earth and the way you understood the world to work in the past, you've got to get rid of them, right? And then he lists them, some of them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. In other words, loving things that shouldn't be loved in that way. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And which things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You see, God is going to flush the toilet, right? And everybody who's got sin stuck to them is going to go down the toilet straight into hell. All those who've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb don't have that sin on them. They will not get flushed. There's a time coming, the button will be pushed, and that's it, it's over. You have to decide where you are. You've got to decide what you want on you. Because that wrath is coming to destroy all that's evil. You don't want that evil on you. You want Jesus to take that off you. And he can do that, but then your soul needs to let go of it as well. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. So I guess some more you've got to get rid of, right? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Old man, your old spirit, you got rid of it. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. God created that new spirit for you. He created it. He knows exactly how it works. Right? But you now need to renew your mind in the knowledge after God. Right? So you think of a baby in the womb. Baby doesn't use its arms and legs in the womb. Doesn't need them. Right? It's developing them for here. Well, what do you need? What the equivalent of arms and legs, etc., and heart and all the other stuff? What is equivalent on the spiritual side? Well, we're created in the image of God. What is the image of God? There are characteristics that you would need on the other side. You see, faith is something that if I have no gravity, I can't get up and walk. I'm just like floating. I can do nothing. I can go nowhere. I can't grab anything. I can't move anything, right? But using faith, I can believe that I'm over there and whoops, I'm there. And then I'm there. But I have to believe that. To believe it, I need to have that capability of faith. Now, there are a number of other capabilities that your spirit needs. So here's a list for you. Faith, hope, charity. Why do I say charity and not love? Charity is giving of myself and expecting nothing in return. It's agape love, right? So some people say it's love. I say no, you've got three types of love. You've got phileo, which is friendship. You've got eros, which is erotic. And you've got agape, which is charity, which is just giving of myself. In heaven, you need charity. So, faith, hope, charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You need meekness. You need humility, you need grace, you need mercy, you need long-suffering. You've got to put up with a lot of stuff. You need long-suffering, you need salvation to get there, you need God's righteousness to remain where we are, that you get by faith. You need truth, that you'll only find in God's word, you need the right one. And then you need the passion to reach out and touch and bless and help and encourage your brothers and your sisters in Christ to get it and make it all the way. Right? That's what God has. So that's the image of him that created him, created you, right? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ all in all. You see, all those things I just mentioned to you, that is Christ. And when you are in Christ, that is your nine-dimensional character. You have all those. You don't have all the other things. That was part of the four-dimensional spirit that's been destroyed. So let go of that. Don't hold on to it. Your default settings have changed. So don't hold on to things that are no, I mean, you actually have to apply effort to do the things that are sinful once you've got your new spirit. You really shouldn't, because now you're going to train it to do all the wrong things and you've got to untrain it again, right? But your default settings are there. Go back to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, please, can I have my default settings back again? I don't want to be like I am now. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. What does that mean? You know, when you have mercy, you are being merciful to another person. But when you have bowels of mercies, you really feel it in your heart to help somebody else who doesn't deserve anything. But you help them anyway because it's within you. And by the way, this is now part of your nine-dimensional spirit, right? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye. If any man have a quarrel against any, it's not just you having a quarrel. If somebody else have a quarrel, be the mediator. Love, encourage. And by the way, remember that if you're speaking to somebody who's got a four-dimensional spirit, they're really just not going to get half of what you're trying to tell them. So ask God to work in their hearts. Pray for people. Keep them on your prayer list because that's how they will get to the point of saying, I don't know what you've got, but I want it. And then you say, okay, well, let me show you how this works. Verse 14. And above all these things, charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Right? Charity, I give, I expect nothing in return. Jesus said this all the way through his whole ministry. I give, I expect nothing in return. Lend, do not expect it back. You're supposed to move through God's creation, not try and hold on to it, not try and hoard it, not try and shove it into bank accounts and everything else like that. It all belongs to the Lord. So no idea why you're doing that. The more you give, the more you create the capacity to receive, the more God gives you. But if you are trying to give so that you can create capacity to receive because you want to hold on to stuff, then you're missing the entire point. You cannot have joy and life and all these good things if you're trying to hold on to the world. You can't. It's just not possible. So your focus has to change. You've got to be setting your eyes on the things above. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. Remember that? You, as a believer in Jesus, are one body with whoever else believes in Jesus. Right? Yeah, we all have these challenges where we believe this slightly differently from that. But you know what? If your heart is in Jesus, you've given him your heart and you say, Jesus, please work with me. All of us are like scattered all over the place. We're going to come from different directions. Don't try and force somebody to go in your direction. You'll probably take them in the wrong direction. Just show them where Jesus is and what he looks like, which is, by the way, what the Word does. Bring them the Word of God. Let them read it. Let them hear it. For those people who can't read, if you go to that same site, multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-with-living. And then you go to the Old King James Bible, There are audios for all of the Old King James Bible books, and the italics are taken out, so you can just listen to it, and then you know you're getting the original. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's the point. If you're not thankful, you're not receiving. A sponge can only absorb if it's porous. You cannot absorb a thing if you're not thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, the spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You will notice something interesting here. The emphasis on what you sing is the psalms. There's 150 psalms. Every one of those psalms is 100% scriptural. You don't have to go and dissect things like people say, you know, God is on my side. No, nowhere in the Bible does God say he's on your side. Not one place. The context of every one of those cases is the people submitted to God. Then they did what God said, which meant they got on his side. And then in appearance, everybody else thought God was on their side. But that was not what happened. So many of the songs today are bent out of shape, giving people nice music, nice words, feels good, not true. Those are the things of this earth. You're not setting your affection on the things above. You're setting them on the things of this earth. But if you take the Psalms, put them to music like they used to do, you can have your more upbeat music if you want to, provided, of course, your body movements are God-honoring and not sexually or whatever other movements that are just not good, right? And then you're going to experience God in a whole new way, in a whole new light. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If what you're being told to do is not going to be edifying the Lord, you have to ask questions about what you're building. You have to ask questions about what you're involved with. Everything I've ever worked on, I've said, Lord, this is yours. You show me how or what you need me to do. And if I'd had to push back and say, God, sorry, I can't do it that way. By the way, they know what they can talk to me about. They're going to lie, cheat, steal, backstab, or whatever. They don't include me in any of those meetings. Now, I will have nothing to do with it. And they know that. I say up front to people, never ask me to lie for you. It's not going to happen. And I will do what's right. So if you want to experience the kinds of things that Joseph brought to Egypt, where he turned that country into the most amazing powerhouse of goodness. Yeah, changed later. If you want that kind of thing, yeah, definitely take on a Christian. And you'll know it's the right Christian because the right Christian will say to you, listen, Sabbath is starting this afternoon, it's Friday. And I'm out of commission. I'm not working on anything. I'm not coming in tomorrow. We're not going to do all these things that you want me to do on a Saturday. No, I'm with my family. I'm with the Lord. And I won't try and meet a deadline by working at that time. I'll simply curse that work. And I'm going to have nothing to do with that. You have to work according to God's timetable, which is something that's set from above. You can't work according to the way this world works. That's for four-dimensional entities. It's not for nine-dimensional entities. By the way, they're going to be soon releasing the reality of these alien creatures, right? They are demonic. They are demonic in nature. Demons also operate in nine dimensions. Yes, they do. They operate in nine dimensions. God operates in 10 plus. He's outside of time. All the rest of us, even those things, are all internal. But they're terrified of us, right? You've got to remember, we are like burning lights. We have this amazing power of God within us. They want nothing to do with real Christians. Nothing. But yes, they're nine-dimensional. So are we. So you can rebuke them in the name of Jesus. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you just simply picture Jesus on the cross in your mind. Remember that he's paid for your sin, which makes you perfect. And then tell them in the name of Jesus, get out. And they have to. It's not that they have to. They don't even want to be around. It's like they get a blood nose every time you do that. They want nothing to do with this. The number of Satanists that will come and they'll say, you know what, I sent a demon over there to that guy. I thought he wasn't much of a Christian. That demon came back and made me so sick. I have a personal testimony of somebody who had the word assassin written on his arm. And he was one of those that wound up taking down people using demonic forces. Well, that thing went back to him and nearly killed him. Another gentleman tried using his demonic forces, etc. He died shortly later. You can't mess with a Christian and expect to get away with it. Not spiritually. And that's why those demonic forces will go. They will punish those people that try and actually use them. It's one of the reasons that Satanists actually leave Satan and they come and they join Jesus and they give their heart to the Lord and they become such powerful, powerful Christians, right? And you can do that despite the lies that Satan tries to feed those that he has control over to say, you can never leave me. Jesus will never receive you, never accept you. You've done this, this, and this. That's a load of rubbish. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus can forgive you. There are two very distinct worlds. If you focus on this physical world, etc., you're living as a four-dimensional entity. If you don't have Jesus, well, then that's all you've got. You haven't got the capability to go beyond the four. You're effectively like the cattle versus the people. Demonic forces are like people and you're just the cows. You don't stand a chance. But if you've given your heart to Jesus, you are now a nine-dimensional entity. Stop living like a four-dimensional entity. Set your things, set your mind, set your affection on the things above. And the knowledge that you gain, you will not gain knowledge when you simply read a Bible that has taken the italics and turned it into normal text, and you don't know what words to leave out. You need to go and find an old one. You need to find an old one. And that link, I'll give it to you again, multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. And you'll see the link to the Old King James Bible further down there. Well, guys, I'm not sure what Holy Spirit's speaking to you about, but I trust that you will take up what is rightfully yours as a child of God and live that way. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.